MSW Media.
Well, pour yourself a glass, sit for a spill. It's time to have some fun. Let's do a little thinking, some picking and a drinking. Well, this is what we're drinking with Dan Dunn. Oh, yeah.
Welcome to the show, everybody, which we've dubbed Whiskey American Style. Coming to you from Melrose Umbrella Company, located in the heart of Los Angeles' historic Melrose Shopping District. It's where I buy all my stuff, right here. Yeah. All right, come on.
Live studio audience.
All my shopping around here. Joining me, two frequent guests on the show, the lovely and talented Katya Dragotis.
Hello.
Yes, more clapping. And the quite tall, Emmy-winning writer-comedian, Tom Caltabiano. Yeah, yes. Tom. Great
Woo!
To see you.
Off putting to applaud for yourself.
What a great location we're in, right? This is
Can
a
I
great
tell you
spot.
How much, I love the Umbrella. Every time I come here, I go, I wish I could come here every single day. Not because of the helicopter traffic.
Because of the paparazzi lingering above in a helicopter.
They knew you were going to, you can't announce where you're going to be, Dan, because these right. paparazzi.
You did post on it's your like, story. It's your yeah, fault.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like,
but it's a great spot.
Yes. We're outside, inside.
We're on the back patio. This place is owned by the dynamic duo of Zach Patterson and Austin Melrose, old buddies of mine. They opened it in 2013.
Wow.
And by the way, lest you think I copied this off the website, I did.
Yes.
The building in which the Melrose Umbrella Company's house was built in the midst of the excitement of the demise of Prohibition.
Oh.
So that was the 18th Amendment, okay? When they lifted it and they ratified the 21st Amendment, the only time in U.S. history this has happened. And the iconic image that marked that occasion was an umbrella with raindrops falling from the inside, representing the promise of many wet days to come.
Nice.
I had no idea. I love that story.
This is all knowledge I'm laying on you that I lifted from the website.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So anyway, on today's show, as I said, Whiskey American Style, we're going to sample five, I think, fantastic. I think we're all going to find these delightful American whiskeys. They've all been featured on the show in some capacity, but not these particular expressions. So we're going to try them. We're going to jump right in. Katya, where would you put yourself on a scale of 1 to 10?
Okay.
10 being your Michael Jackson, and not Michael Jackson the singer, Michael Jackson the
beer
whiskey aficionado.
Got it.
Legendary. Or Jim Murray or one of those. And 1 being you've never had a sip of whiskey in your life. Where would you put yourself?
I'm going to say a 6 because I enjoy whiskey, but it's not something that I like necessarily always grab towards.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tom?
You said it goes up to 11?
Yes.
What? 10. 10. Okay, you're, so then I'm
or 11.
I'm an 11. Okay. If it goes up to 10, I'm an 11.
I love that.
All right.
Yeah.
You do know your whiskey.
I know it, yes, and I reach for it every single time I can. Oh. Yeah, and I'm not shaming you.
No, it's
for not,
fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the... Just looking at these bottles,
you're like thirsty.
Well, it's the happiest I've ever been to see Dan because I see the reflection of him in those bottles.
It is interesting you say that because when I get a new bottle of booze,
yeah,
it is exciting. Like
yes.
it's like a you know a wonderful gift.
Yeah.
From the boozy gods.
I do. Yeah. Yes.
And first up, the first one we're going to do today.
Yeah.
And we'll be shooting the breeze,
yeah.
as they say in the biz. We shoot the breeze about lots of things, including what you have going on, Tom. Although
yes.
you cannot talk about anything you're doing currently, right? Because of the strike?
There is a strike.
You're not allowed to promote
anything.
Is there
anything. A strike? I don't know.
It's the part I'm part of the hotel sanitary people.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Strike.
He's a UPS driver.
UPS driver.
There's a lot of strikes to choose from. Yeah.
Things have gone downhill since not that it's downhill to become a UPS driver, but a writer on Everybody Loves Raymond for how many years?
All the seasons, 9 years, beginning to end. Yeah. And I knew Ray from doing stand-up before, and I'm very good friends with Phil Rosenthal, who, as you know, has the honor of being on the Dan Dunn podcast frequently.
More than any other guest. And he'll be back on again soon, yeah. And so will you.
And he is, yes, and he has exploded since you befriend. You were like Sinatra in the down years where people, the mob helped him out. You're like, Phil, let me help you some way. And now he has become... He has become the Elvis of the food
world.
He's
the guy. Yeah.
Now it takes weeks for me to book him. Before I'd say, Philly, he's like, yes, he'd be banging on my door.
Yes, absolutely. By the way, Dan, can I ask you, so these are all American whiskeys?
Everything here.
Okay.
Made in America.
Did we read off the names of them yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
I was going to do them one at a time
to
build
them.
The suspense.
Yes. Okay.
First up.
Yes.
It's a whiskey called Widow Jane.
Widow Jane.
Is that the brand?
Widow Jane is the brand, okay. And it's made out of Red Hook in Brooklyn.
Love it.
The hip area.
And so I went to New York University, and so when I went there back in the 50s, the Red Hook was a terrible neighborhood.
Okay.
And it has since come up. And so for those that know New York from then, you're like, they make it in Red Hook. How many of the bottlers survived? It's like, no, it's a nice... place now. So I'm
it's like
this
super bougie.
This will be the first time, yes, I'll ever taste
you've
this.
Never had a Red Hook whiskey.
Correct.
And by the way, this is the first time really anybody's tasting this particular expression, which is Widow Jane Paradigm Rye, which just came out.
Oh.
It might not even be on shelves yet. It just came to me and I brought it to you. And we're gonna try this. A little bit about Widow Jane, just so you know. I believe it's named after a mine that was upstate, Rosendale, New York. Does that sound familiar? Which is where they source their water, their proofing water.
Okay.
Which is the water they use to bring it down to proof. And it was a natural reserve of mineral water. The mines used, before it became that, it used to produce the cement, which was used to construct some of the most iconic American landmarks, such as the Brooklyn Bridge and the Empire State Building, among others. So the water you get there is pure limestone filtered water from the mine. And Widow Jane happens to have one of the country's largest holdings of long-aged bourbons.
Wow.
So we're going to try this rye. And here I'm going to pass it down to you, Tom, the pour some. First, we're going to be trying all of this neat, although I've been told that Zach Patterson is in the building. And he may step up, the owner of Melrose Umbrella Company and a bartender of mean merit, I will say that.
Yes.
May actually drop by and make us a couple of
pressure's
drinks.
Pressure's
on.
With some
I of would stuff. Bet my life that he would not be willing to appear on the show.
You don't think he'll do it?
No, not on this show.
Well, guess what? You're about to die because there he is. You got a microphone for him right there. Here, jump
can
in.
I,
will you, fella? Will you, fella?
Can I?
Zach Patterson, everybody. Come on. Let's clap it up.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yes.
Zach, are you wearing wearing an umbrella hat?
No. Oh, I am. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome. Okay.
So you knew this was happening. You
it's
know.
At the bad angle.
It.
That's
he's
why
he's representing.
Yeah.
The grand old man right there.
The Melrose Umbrella Company hat, and that's the logo. The man with the umbrella.
Yeah. And this is because if we end up drinking too much today, I forget where I work or where I need to go. I show this hat. Tell me the neighborhood.
Yeah. Sounds like a dog collar. Somebody finds you.
Back to here. Can I just do the before we go? Can I just do the sound?
Make the noise. Yeah.
The bottle opening. Okay. First of all, it's the tallest bottle in our selection, right? And it's an austere label. A beautiful,
beautiful,
right?
Very
right.
Beautiful.
Here we go.
Oh yeah.
Amazing. Love it.
Now, Zach, you're a Widow Jane fan, I believe.
Thank oh, yes.
You. Yeah. Now, well, I want you to try it. We got another glass here for you. Let's try this. And
why does he get a clean glass?
What I am interested in is this, Zach. When you try something, are you immediately thinking about what might work in cocktail-wise?
That's a great question. And when I'm in the midst of any of the venues or whatever we're doing and we're thinking about menu changes, absolutely. I smell something, I taste something, I'm making breakfast, I cook something for lunch. I just start thinking flavors, incorporations, what go together, what have I not seen or what have I seen that I know works. So a lot of times, yes. But, you know, if I'm in with you and Tales of the Cocktail in New Orleans, I'm just enjoying whatever's in my mouth and that's where I'm living.
I love it.
Well, let's try this. This is the Paradigm Rye. We're maybe the first people in America trying this right now.
Oh, really?
This is hot off the presses here. Here we go.
So if they distill in New York, where are they getting, where are they like actually farming the products? You know what I mean?
So Widow Jane actually sources from around the country.
Okay.
Yeah. And then they also do some distilling themselves. So their facility in Red Hook, they have a warehouse. for the aging. They have barreling, blending, and bottling there on site. But they source a lot of their whiskey. So,
By the way, Dan, sorry.
This is delicious.
No. Oh, it's yeah. Can we hear some tasting notes from a professional for 1 second?
Okay, all right, I'll give you some.
No,
I'll
no, Dan, I was referring to your guest. No, your guest.
I thought you were talking about yourself.
Yes.
I mean, the first thing I noticed, aside from the wonderful bouquet that's just opening up as it's sitting here, which, what are we at? 46%, so that's going to happen a little bit. Texturally, mouthfeel is phenomenal. Real rich, real full, creamy, everything about it. I mean, I took one sip. You know, I always like, you know, we take two, right?
Yep.
You take the one, you let your palate know more is coming in, and then all of a sudden you get the nuances. But straight away, I'm still actually feeding off one. I haven't even jumped to the second yet, and everything I just said is real. And I love texture, right? And I love mouthfeel. That, to me, is one of the most important things. And I think that's why, you know, look today, milk punches are everywhere. Thank goodness, love them. But it's because that creamy mouthfeel. I think you have this inherently already built in this.
Yeah, without any dairy.
It's funny you say that because I got a little lemon meringue pie thing going on here. Anybody else getting that?
Okay. I'm getting like a buzzy.
No.
Like a weird buzzy. Not weird, but like a buzzy texture to it. That, talking about texture. So
I think your pager might be going off.
That's your pager, yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, just so you know, this is 93 proof. 46.5% ABV.
Yep, there we go.
It's $50 a bottle. They've been laying down whiskey for the last 5 years, rye whiskey. And they mix these together. They do a lot of blending. They come. I'm also getting orange, mandarin orange kind of thing. Anybody else getting that?
I'm really liking the lemon meringue take on that.
By the way, can I just say, you can tell when people are tasting something and they're not jumping out with words and it's like, interesting. And then you move on to next. How exciting is it that this is so good out of the gate? Right? This is just phenomenal.
And you're right. It is. So now what are you thinking cocktail-wise on this? If we were to give you this bottle and go to town, which we're about to do.
You took me down the dessert route, which I really would love to play with a little bit here. So I might actually disappear for a couple of minutes and try and come up with something. But I also, which I found real interesting, I've played a lot. I see that bottle of Michter's is sitting over there. So I love playing with mushrooms and whiskey. I think they go so well together. All different kinds. Typically, even when I'm blending, if I'm playing even with like chaga or lion's mane, I like throwing a little shiitake, a little extra umami in there. Mm-hmm. And the best so far that I found with shiitake that I love in the whiskey category is that Michter's American. I think it goes so well together. Okay. Even neat. Every time I make a cocktail, it doesn't go back to as good as that. I just create it when I do it neat. And I throw some other fats and I do a little fat wash thing, but this straight away, as I'm thinking that, because now you asked that first question, do I think of things? And I was thinking mushrooms as I usually do. Straight away, this can pair well with mushrooms amazingly.
That's the last thing I was going to
expect.
But I bet, to hear it. Here's what I want to do, though. I'm going to start the timer. See how long it's going to take from the time Zach walks away. Until he comes back with an award-winning cocktail.
Well, why put that,
it adds some drama.
I got a full bottle here.
It adds some drama to the episode.
So just for anyone just joining us, Dan, Widow Jane Paradigm Rye, never before tasted by you or potentially anybody else.
And I'm blown away by it. This is the first.
Truly blown away.
There's two here that I have not tried, and the other three. Actually, no, I have not tried the new expressional barrel that we're going to try. I have tried the Michter's, I've tried the few, and then we're going to have Claremont Steep, which is another brand new product that I haven't tried yet either. So, but from a brand that we all know, Beam. But this one is from Widow Jane and
Dan, you told me you would be paying me tens of dollars to appear on your show. I would be happy with just that bottle.
You can take it with you.
All right. I'm just claiming.
I'm going to take it now because I'm going to go try and make something with this.
Let me start the timer. See how long it takes before we
see how lost and confused I get and then show the hat and have to remember what I was doing.
Okay, here we go.
Come back with an empty bottle.
So for everybody, Zach is poised to leave. He's going
to hit the stopwatch.
He's going to create a cocktail. He spewed out a lot of information and then Dan called him on it and said, prove it. And now prove it under pressure. So
this is... Yeah, probably suspenseful. The greatest test he's ever had. And here we go. And go.
Game on.
All right.
Two, three. Oh, should I not count? Okay. Friends, I love football. I really do. There's just something so exhilarating about watching grown men in silly padded outfits getting in there and mixing it up. And speaking of mixing it up, how's that for a segue, huh? When you're having friends over to watch football, the last thing in the world you want to do is be spending half the damn game playing Master Mixologist. It's a time-consuming pain in the ass. That's why my fridge is always well-stocked with ready-made mixers from Fresh Victor. If I've said it once, I've said it 14,763 times. You can buy the finest, fanciest, most expensive spirits in the world to make craft cocktails at home, but if you use lame-o mixers, you're going to get lame-o drinks. Well, that ain't gonna happen with Fresh Victor, a line of all-natural, clean-label cocktail mixers that are as smooth as Josh Allen throwing the long ball. Fresh Victor features 8 unique blends with contemporary flavors designed to suit any palate. All the ingredients are fair trade sourced. There's no artificial anything. Mixers are produced at a 100% solar-powered juicing plant with absolutely no waste. Right now, Fresh Victor is offering a blowout win of a deal to my listeners. Simply go to freshvictor.com, fill up your shopping cart, and at checkout, enter promo code WWD20 to get 20% off your order. Touchdown! Score! Something else! Here's what I know. Now's the time to treat yourself to the very best mixers on the market, and that's Fresh Victor.
Hey, you're listening to What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn, and you probably should get people to cut their promos before the drinking.
What's your name?
Yay. I'm Big J. Okerson.
Okay. Well, that was good. Want to try another one?
We got to be honest. That's pretty funny, though. I never said
no,
my name.
I will definitely cut that one for sure.
Yeah, that's what he goes, what's your name? He goes, oh, yeah, it's Big J. Okerson. We've been drinking for like an hour. Have we been here for 4 hours?
Can we try a promo where you get it right this time, Jay?
What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn, right?
Your name's okay. Big J. Okerson. This show is called What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn. Let's make some magic happen. Promo magic. Here we go.
Hey, everybody. It's Big J. Okerson, and you're listening to What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn. We got to do more of this stuff before the drinking.
Widow Jane's head distiller and blender is Sienna Jevremov. And I, you know what, Tom, from the time you and I met many years ago, it's incredible to see how many women now have moved into positions of master distillers and blenders where there just simply weren't 10, 15 years ago. When did we meet? 15 years ago, probably around there?
Thought it was at the first Woodstock, but maybe it was, maybe it was later. I don't know. I just remember you were topless on my shoulders. That's all I remember. So I assumed it was Woodstock,
So it's really great to see that is a very welcome development in the industry because, man, back in the day, especially when it came to whiskey in America,
Well,
there wasn't anybody.
But the beauty of it to me is if you're blindfolded and agnostic about the sex, I just want the flavor and the mouth, you know, everything you're describing.
Exactly.
So, and it's not like, wow, this really fell off. I guess they're letting women do this now.
Exactly. But I mean, it's a cool development in the industry and it's a thing that I love to see and bravo to Widow Jane for doing that. Again, we went over the specifics of this particular whiskey and you got any questions about it?
By the way, I would say that's the best out of the gate review of any whiskey you've ever had.
Really?
Right out of the gate.
Did you see Zach's face?
Yeah. He was blown away.
Yes.
And I would assume that it's hard to blow him away, especially with whiskey. Because I feel like Melrose Umbrella Company like always feels like a whiskey spot to me, too. So it's fun that we're doing it here. Yeah, I don't know why.
It's got that kind of vibe.
It's got that vibe.
You know, where if you go to TGI Fridays, that's more of a frozen
Long Island iced tea?
Strawberry daiquiri or Long Island iced tea kind of vibe to it. Or
Blooming
Senior Frogs. Tom used to hang out there all the time, right there.
Yeah, well, I have the night shift there tonight. So
you also saw Dan without a shirt on at Senior Frogs.
Well, that's everywhere. I'm saying.
So we're anointing this one a winner.
Yes,
love it. And we're going to see. Zach's going to come back with a cocktail at some point. So
I'm excited.
Now we're going to Tom.
Move on.
Dump. Now, a very recently released product that we're going to try here. You've heard of this company, the James B. Beam Distilling Company?
Yeah, it was actually my grandma's, we joke, it was my grandma's third husband.
Was it?
Jim Beam.
But not the Jim Beam.
No.
Okay.
Because she loved him.
That one.
It was,
I got you. All right, I see what you're saying.
Grandma's third husband.
It's just like the song with the guy, I'm hanging out with my good friend Johnny Walker.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So 227 years of whiskey making. Mm. I mean, Beam is an iconic American brand that did merge with a Japanese company. But so this is, I believe, their first foray into American single malt whiskey category. So this is not a bourbon. It's okay. An American single malt whiskey. So it's called Clermont Steep. That's C-L-E-R-M-O-N-T Steep. It was developed by Freddie No. Have you ever met Fred?
I have met Fred and toured Jim Beam with Fred.
Oh. Yes. So Freddie is the eighth generation master distiller.
Yep.
And Freddie developed this in an attempt to sort of flesh out the full potential of a single grain. And in this case, it is American malted barley.
Oh.
So here, for those of us who are six whiskey drinkers...
Six level. Not sick. For those that missed the beginning, we were rating your ability or, yes.
Remind difference between bourbon and whiskey.
The difference between, bourbon is whiskey.
Bourbon is whiskey. So what? Yes. So
let's see, Tom. Let's test Tom. Throw him out, Tom.
Bourbon, 51% corn.
Okay.
In the mash.
In the mash bill. Yeah. Charred, single use barrels.
What kind of barrels, though?
White American oak.
Nice.
Oak,
that's correct.
Yeah. I think it has to be made in the United States of America.
That's correct. Yes. Not in Kentucky.
Not in Kentucky. A lot of people, that's a
myth.
It
has to be America.
And in the US. It was the Bourbon Act.
62, I think it became a distinctive product.
I don't know the exact year. Yeah. It's an easily look-upable fact. But here's something.
There's a couple. You're almost there. Any other rules? The whiskey can't enter the barrel at higher than what
100,
proof?
100?
125.
Otherwise, what, it's moonshine?
And it can't, it just, that's
becomes,
the rule. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it can't enter the bottle, the barrel at higher than 125, and it can't enter the bottle at less than 80 proof. And nothing can be added, no coloring, all the color's got to come from the wood. And then the only other thing would be, if in order to be called a straight bourbon, it's got to spend at least 2 years in the barrel. To be a Kentucky straight, it's got to be made in Kentucky.
Yes.
There you go. So American whiskey
does not have
a lot of rules. In fact, that's one of the things Freddie was talking about, was the American single malt category doesn't really have guidelines. So you can make them up as you go. And that leaves a lot of room for experimentation. It also leaves a lot of room to mess things up.
Yeah.
Freddie said, on the record, is saying this was one of the biggest challenges of his career. And we're talking about a Hall of Fame bourbon guy here, whiskey guy. So
a lot of eyes on him.
And have not tried this one either.
Just saw Zach come from the kitchen.
So I just saw him get into his car.
Yeah. Just left.
With a bottle. So
he just went to buy a ready to drink cocktail next door, came over, can of something.
So here's something that Freddie No told Mr. No.
Yes.
Told me, we were touring the plant. I said, there's screw tops and there's cork tops. And he said, obviously we know that. And he said, people like that sound.
Yes.
People like the feeling when they're uncorking that bottle.
It's like
wine. It's not a screw. So let's hear it now.
Okay.
For Clermont Steep. Here we go.
Oh, boy. Look at it. Exciting.
Yeah.
And what about the sound of it pouring into the glass?
Since we're
doing sound effects here.
Hold on. The glass is going to sound just like my mouth. Hold on. Sorry.
There you go.
I like the clink at the end. That was great.
That's
mine.
What about rye? Does that have to be a U.S. product as well?
That's a good question. I don't know. I've encountered any rye outside of America. Have you ever encountered a rye whiskey? I don't think so. Canadian rye?
Canadian rye. Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. Never mind. Isn't that...
Yeah,
Canadian.
But a class. We're looking for a classification. You're saying, like, what is Tennessee whiskey versus bourbon?
Well, the charcoal. So,
right, but I'm saying is there a rye? Maybe when Zach comes back and he's not
long? He's been gone for quite some time.
All right,
let's see.
Can we know?
All right, let's get into this Clermont Steep here. Now we're gonna.
Can I just say, Dan, a smaller, a beautifully shaped bottle, right?
Yes,
all the bottles are amazing.
I'm assuming that is barley.
Yeah,
since this is a barley, right?
That is barley.
The image on the label, which is a beautifully designed label.
You're getting the grain on that. Like, that is, wow. That's just interesting. Very smooth, balanced, So we know it's this is 47% ABV, so that's going to put us at 94 proof. It's $59.99, also known as 60 minus a penny, a bottle, which I think is a great price point for this. What do you think, Katya?
Okay, this is a weird taste profile, and we're coming from a six again.
All right.
Dandelion.
Oh, you're naming a you're not saying it tastes weird.
Oh, you mean saying, a weird
taste. This is a weird tasting flavor. Note.
Yeah,
note. Yeah.
Dandelion. Are you eating dandelions?
Well, that's a...
I've never eaten a dandelion before. I wouldn't know. Oh, yeah,
that's awesome. I'm getting.
Where'd you grow up?
I'm getting bougainvillea.
Come on, it checks out.
Anybody else getting cactus and bougainvillea? I don't. What are you licking as a child?
I mean, have you tasted smoke? Smoke is a popular taste profile.
I grew up rough in Philly. I tasted like cigarette butts. I think I probably ate when I was a kid.
Right.
You know,
smoke is like a good taste profile usually.
I can't. Yeah, I have nothing.
I'm
cannot comment on
this. Episode.
When Dan earlier said whatever it was, you know, mandarin orange. Well, I go, oh, am I tasting mandarin orange? So I don't know. Dandelion is. I'm going through my Rolodex of flavors, and dandelion's not in there.
So bright. Maybe that's the characteristic.
I don't know what kind of barrels they're aging. So it's a 5-year-old liquid, and they said it's matured in bespoke barrels. So that could be anything. So they're not bound by the rules of bourbon.
Okay.
So they could be. Something that was, it could have been a barrel that they used to store dandelions. That's right.
Here we go.
So okay. just for reverence, it's a complete left turn from what we started.
100%.
Right. So we started with that rye. This is really the bar. I'm tasting the toast or whatever. I really enjoy it.
It's quite a departure for Beam.
This
kind of feels like
Beam.
This is Freddie sort of. Really
stepping
putting his
own.
Stamp on
yeah,
it and
yeah.
saying, because again, he's not being held to sort of a rigid standard of what he can do. So
sure.
he seems
he's
to have done a lot
around.
Of really good stuff.
What yeah. is typical for Beam that is
bourbon.
Different from
yeah.
here? Like taste
but
profile.
Flavor
wise.
Profile.
Flavor
profile.
Yeah, well, you're going to, because of bourbon, you're going to get the sweetness of the corn. And you're going to,
okay.
I mean, if you go through, I mean, Beam has a lot of whiskeys in their portfolio.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And there's a big range.
Yeah. Booker's is a. Delicious.
Booker's great.
But
yeah.
this one you could say is sort of a singular whiskey in their portfolio. This doesn't taste like
anything else
that I've had, and that's a good thing. I mean, it's really it's something else, this one. I'd be interested to see. I would ask Zach to make another cocktail, but it looks like he's going to be joining us on the next. He'll be joining us on that Phil episode.
Yeah.
We'll probably have him in a couple weeks. We'll see him.
I'm really enjoying this. Can I just say, but you have to be ready for, you're not going to pour that last, these two expressions together, side by side, and go, let's compare apples and apples. Mm-hmm. You're going to go, okay, prepare your palate for a left turn. And it's
100%. Yeah, this is a,
they've stumped the band.
I know. We're all kind of like, what did he do? What did Freddie do?
Yeah.
But whatever he did, it's really working.
Dare I say pine nut?
Pinoli. Yes, pinoli.
I only want
now
weird. From now on, it's going to be weird.
Yeah.
Wet yak wool?
Never say yeah. So not sweet. Let's just go from basics for people listening. The Claremont
sweet.
Steep is not sweet.
It is not
great rhyming.
Sweet, but it's also not bitter.
It's not bitter.
It's got a very... you certainly are getting the whole grain quality of this
grain.
Whiskey. Mm. This is an earthy, yeah, this thing I think is going to go
like
really
dandelions.
Well in an aromatic cocktail.
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. As opposed to a sour, I'm sure it'd be good in a sour too, but.
You mean like a Boulevardier perhaps? Or
that's exactly right. It's a.
Manhattan.
A Manhattan, you know, yes. So.
Yeah, I was more of like a whiskey ginger vodka soda type bartender. You want a vodka soda? I can get you one real quick.
By the way, I Dan kind of knows this, but I bartended at a place called El Rio Grande in Manhattan, okay?
Oh.
And so we had three bartenders on each side. We have Texas and Mexico on two sides of a bar. We almost never poured bourbon or scotch. It was so out. It was sea breezes and margaritas and all this stuff. And then this wave, if you could go back in time and go, hey, guys, you will be clamoring to have Claremont Steep or this Widow Jane rye in your restaurant because you're going to pour hundreds of gallons and no one's going to want vodka. You would never, ever, ever
wouldn't
have
believed it.
You would not have believed it in a million years.
What do you think changed that in the industry?
I think this podcast really
yeah.
helped.
I think me. Yeah.
Yeah,
I
had 100%. A lot to do
with it. I would say Dale DeGroff and the cocktail, you know.
Certainly.
So there's a lot of factors. You can never, you know, it's not like who invented the wheel? Well.
No, Tom, a little quick departure here. So there's apparently a happy hour coming in soon to yes. Melrose with, they've invited in a bunch of the striking
WGA
SAG and
members.
WGA people as a member of the WGA. I'm wondering.
And how SAG. Are you, I'm how in are SAG you, after NWGA.
How are you feeling about these strikes, Tom?
I don't think it looks like an early settlement to me. I know they've had meetings and I know they've had blackouts and stuff, but I think one of the big problems is there's this question of technology that neither side know, and they're trying to do this chess match in a good way because the writers are going, hey, don't replace us. And it feels like the producers are like, we're so close. Just come on.
Yeah. Give us two more weeks. Done with you.
Two more weeks and you guys will be, you know, sweeping the floors here. So I don't know.
I think, you know, Sarah Silverman's got a lawsuit going, and I think that's going to be one of the more consequential things that's happening. Is
What's
because
the lawsuit?
She's basically saying the only way AI can replicate what we're doing is it's got to scrub everything. So in other words, if you put in to AI, tell me a joke in the style of Sarah Silverman about traffic in L.A. The only way it's going to generate that joke is it's going to yeah. scrub all of Sarah Silverman's
material.
And she's saying that that should be, and I believe her.
Yes, like, I don't you know how you.
Yeah. A friend did it to me. A friend of mine did this a while back with ChatGPT.
Right.
He said, write a couple paragraphs in the style of Dan
Dunn.
A
bad writer. Oh, okay.
Son of a bitch. I knew it was coming. In the style of a mediocre writer. Give me okay, mediocre, okay. will you? And happy hour talking to a woman in a bar.
Yeah,
and he sent me these two paragraphs, and it was crazy. Like
really?
It could have been, but in order to do that,
yeah.
it had to
force to read your
steal
book.
My shit. Yes. It had to copy me.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing as if you want to run a commercial, and you want George Clooney to be the voiceover in your commercial, but you don't want to pay George Clooney, you can't go out and hire a George Clooney impersonator. You
right.
They will sue the hell out of you for doing that. So why is it you're able to do it with a computer?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Right? It's the same thing.
Absolutely.
Same idea.
If you're going for that. By the way, you know what AI will not replace? The whiskey in my glass.
That's right. Oh, so let's get another one going.
Yes.
Still waiting on Zach with that cocktail. And speaking of Hollywood, my friend Marcus Efron is here. He's a director, a very talented director. Came in. He's watching. I am waving to him right now. If you want to grab a glass, you can pour yourself whatever you want here. And maybe we'll even have you on in a couple minutes. All right. Now we're going to move on to Few. All right.
Yes.
So just a little stuff on Few. It's founded by my buddy Paul Hletko in 2011.
Hletko?
It is located in the Chicago suburb of Evanston, which we talked earlier about Prohibition. Evanston was the headquarters of the temperance movement that gave us that godforsaken era known as Prohibition. The 18th Amendment, the AKA the Noble Experiment, AKA the Volstead Act. Evanston, Illinois was where, what's Molly Hatchet, and, you know, that's where that was all coming from. And they repealed the 18th Amendment on December 5th, 1933, ratified the 21st Amendment. But Evanston stayed dry for decades after that. Yeah. So it's,
fitting.
The irony that one of the best whiskeys in America now is coming out of Evanston. That's Few. So now we're going to try this one. This is their, what do we got there, Tom? Which one?
It's called Straight Bourbon Whiskey.
Okay. So this is
that
they call it Chicagolands Bourbon. This is
straight bourbon.
46.5 ABV, 93 proof. It's $50 a bottle. So I love that everything we're having is right in that range.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's not going to break the bank, but it's, it
and
feels
like
the right
good comparison
yeah.
too, like of all of them.
So what do we? Oh, the nose on this one—it's
strong.
Yeah, this is. Oh, I like this. So the mash bill on this is 70% corn. So you're going to probably get a little sweetness there. 20% rye, 10% malt. Let's try it. Oh yeah, that's some spice and some sweetness, like you, Katya.
Yeah,
sweet
you know,
and spicy.
It's like fall. It's a nice little fall sipper.
Are you getting that dry?
I get
like,
that.
The dryness, though, right after?
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
That's sort of astringency
there. Yeah, like right at the top, at the back.
Mm. Wow, it's really.
I like that a lot.
So now, this is one that I like in a bourbon cocktail. I have few at home, and I go to this a lot for a bourbon cocktail. I think it's a very mixable whiskey. Tom, you didn't describe the bottle.
I was just about to describe it. Yeah. So square, rectangular bottle, shortest bottle in our lineup. Few, F-E-W, for those of you that
it looks great on a bar card.
That like to spell along with Dan's show. This looks, it's a very appealing bottle to the eye. So I'm loving this also. And Dan.
How important is that, by the way, both of you?
Aesthetic.
The aesthetic of the bottle, like for, you know, your home bar.
I love my bar cart. Like, it's one of the centerpieces in my house. And so I want to make sure that, like, if I have a bottle, nothing against Tito's. I like Tito's, but my Tito's is not on my bar cart. It's not my favorite bottle. Like, this is something that I'm going to display with, like, a nice decanter. It's like a whole, it's a whole experience when you come to my house and you look at my bar card.
So. Wouldn't know because I've not gotten the invite yet. Have you, Tom? I've been there twice,
but I never made it to the bar cart. We always make a left right away.
It's true.
Right into the kitchen to make bread. Yeah, so Tom, Tom makes bread.
Can I tell you, I feel bad because I baked bread for this broadcast and I forgot it. So it's sitting on my bar at home.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, wait, look
What's the time, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh.
This Zach is the prettiest presentation.
How long do you think it took Zach to make this drink?
12 minutes.
14:55.
Well,
I'm
going to
go like 22 minutes.
25 minutes.
Wow.
So everybody out there listening, okay, if you come to Melrose gorgeous. Umbrella Company, make sure you leave yourself some time. I'm just kidding. All right. But he did make several things. Now, what do we get? So this now we're going back to the, this is to the Widow Jane, right?
We're back to the Widow Jane.
All right. Okay. What did you do? Get on the mic. You got to get on the mic. Yeah, no one can hear you.
Yeah. Let's sit him down. What a walk-in presentation.
This is amazing.
Here's
your phone.
Zach Patterson is back with us. He is the proprietor of Melrose Umbrella Company. We challenged him to make a drink using Widow Jane Paradigm Rye, and he came back with three drinks.
Okay.
Because that's the kind of guy he is. He's not...
And a...
He... You know what?
Yes.
You know the saying, you give somebody an inch, they'll take a yard?
Yes.
You give him a yard...
Keep going,
we'll make 3 yards.
Zach, there's a lot of this bottle gone.
Where's AI when you need it?
Yeah. Come up with jokes. All right, what do we got here, man? Let's... What you
okay,
do?
So... I couldn't leave this table after talking what I was talking about and then not at least attempt to do the fastest rapid fungi infusion I've ever done.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh.
So I did a super fast, dry, slight bit of olive oil saute Widow Jane infusion, which you can taste right here, which I will tell you, it's actually the only thing I have tasted so far. So we'll see how the rest comes out. The aromatics together were crushing.
This is the mushrooms.
Can we? So there's a little bit of mushroom. And again, this is not
when you say when you say mushroom, you're
I'm
taking actual
it.
Raw
I took a
mushroom.
Like shiitake mushroom right now. I just ran to the kitchen, had Chef Juan grab one to me. I chopped it up. I cut it, moved over some taqueria space in the grill, started sauteing those bad boys. Do a little bit of dry first, right? You know, break down the mycelium or the cell wall, the chitin cell walls, right? And a lot of the beta glucans and a lot of the bioavailability of mushrooms actually come out in heat and alcohol extracts, which is pretty fun. Fun little FYI. So I just did it real fast there, just see what the flavor and the aromatics would give us. Really fun. As it was happening, I was like, yes, I know this can work if I had more than 22 minutes
yeah,
to run between several little places and figure that out. So I did a little bit here that you can taste. You can see kind of the direction it would go on. Let me.
This is unusual though, right, Zach? I mean, are a lot of people doing this with mushrooms?
This is very unusual.
Yeah, I've never heard of a cocktail
I
love it.
Do you know a lot of bar folk that are doing this?
Right? I don't. In fact, Jeremy Lake was the first mushroom cocktail I ever had. Jeremy Lake made it for me over at Crossroads. And I'd been playing with mushrooms a lot in my life and had just not done that level of it. And so
when I worked for Hunter S. Thompson, we played with mushrooms a lot too, but I think they were different than the ones you used here. I hope, or maybe not.
Different end result.
I hope
we'll find out.
You're
now.
You're going to learn about
that. Hey.
So I'm going to wait till after Dan tastes that.
Wow.
Wow. That is crazy.
It's toasted, like so toasted.
Good that is.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
And that was not as I would typically like to do it, but I knew I was on the clock here, so I had to come back with something.
Oh, so
the,
it would be more
the
infused?
The lingers even better.
So be more infused. The flavor would come out a little bit more.
How would you describe that, Dan? How would you describe
it? It like a cold soup. An alcohol mushroom soup.
Well, is it
kettle
are getting
corn.
A big umami blast? Like,
yeah,
what is the,
definitely getting the umami a little bit.
Yes.
There's a flavor, because it's...
It's very balanced. It's very balanced with the rye.
I might be on the fall kick because of this few, but I'm like kettle corn, fall, crisp, like all the way.
Beautiful, like toasted popcorn. Yes. Kind of starting to come through.
Hey, do you guys want to switch seats? I don't have to get in between.
What is this one right here?
So I'm glad you went here because essentially, since I just had, I'm going to go back, only 22 minutes, 25 minutes to make this. So I whipped up a drink with that. So the rest of that mushroom infusion, I went and essentially made a classic riff on a Manhattan, but I went more of a 50-50 style with Manhattan. So I did a little Torino as our sweet vermouth.
Okay.
I did the Widow Jane with the shiitake infusion. I did a hint of Oloroso sherry. And, oh yeah? Or does it? Oh, please tell
oh
me.
Oh, my God. It's so good.
Don't propose to him, Dan.
And then I sweetened the deal, you could say, with a little bit of a Averna to kind of round it out more. Because we were talking dessert earlier, right? Mm-hmm. So I wanted a dessert after dinner drink.
And by the way, so everybody listening knows this. We didn't set this up. I challenged him to go do this, and in 20 minutes, he did it. Like, he made infused with mushrooms and made these cocktails. Like, very impressive.
The coolest thing about that is that, as you say, like, after dinner drink, you always think super, super sweet, and that's so balanced where you get a little bit of touch of dessert, but it's not like I'm overwhelmed and I have, like, a gut rut situation. Right. You know? It's great.
And now, a word from one of our dream sponsors, Miller Lite. Bowling tournament, circa 1982.
The score's all even.
Last frame, who's up?
Rodney.
Rodney!
You gotta be a mistake.
Hey, you kidding? It's a piece of cake.
All we need is one pin, Rodney.
Like beer from Miller. Everything you always wanted in a beer, and less.
I didn't get my turn yet. I'm gonna break this time.
Okay, now we're going to move on to our next one here, which he has referenced. This is the Michter's. We love Michter's here on the show. Been a fan for a long time. Michter's US 1 Kentucky Straight Rye. We're going to let Tom open the bottle for sound effect.
Yep, Dan, sorry.
Let's hear it.
Oh, that was a good one.
Tom, you're killing it with the sound effects.
Yeah, no.
So we know about Michter's. The company that ultimately became Michter's was originally called Schenck's. It was in Pennsylvania, and then it later became Baumburgers. It was founded in Pennsylvania in 1753, making it America's first whiskey company.
Wow.
Yeah. And Michter's, the name it eventually settled on, was one of the old owners. It was a combination of his sons' names, Michael and Peter. Michael, Peter, Michter's. That's what happened. Mm. Oh, yeah. Now, there's a lot of spice in that. That's the spiciest whiskey we've had, right?
It's very even, in my opinion.
Even?
Yes. Very
balanced.
Very smooth. Balanced. Smooth. Balanced. See, you gotta teach me all these right adjectives, Dan Dunn. I'm new to the show.
Dan doesn't coach people.
I don't coach. I like to appear to be the smartest person on the show. And obviously Zach's here today and he's killing me.
he's a dent. So I love this right off the bat again. See, this is the problem. These are all so delicious.
Amazing.
Yeah. And such different animals. But this is, yes, if we're going to compare, this is closer to our Widow Jane rye,
yes,
but different.
This is, I think this is delightful. And by the way, a little bit more on Michter's because it's such a great story. Prohibition, again, killed Michter's. Well, killed what was then, I guess, Baumburgers.
Where,
and then
the way,
Lou Foreman, you know,
yes,
Brown Foreman. Lou Foreman bought it and he named it after his kids. Okay. 89, we were talking about how nobody was drinking whiskey back then, and so they went under.
Yeah.
Went bankrupt.
Bad timing.
Just left the facility in
Walked
Pennsylvania.
Away.
Joe Maglia, the owner of Michter's, Joe Maglia, okay, I believe he bought the name for like $200.
The name of
Michter's.
Oh,
he was able to buy. And I think he bought some of the equipment and stuff, and then he moved it to Kentucky.
Okay.
And but, I mean, was able to resurrect this historic brand and then very quickly turn it into a brand that just wins, racks up the awards. If you ever watch Billions, the show Billions,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bobby Axelrod, whenever they bust out the whiskey on Billions, you know what they're drinking? Michter's.
Really? And what's the price point on this?
This one is $48.99.
They're on the same ballpark. I would wrestle either one of you for the Michter's tonight. I'm just giving you the heads up.
All right.
It's neck and neck with the Widow Jane. But again, different tastes for different times.
Right.
You're right.
True.
So it's not, you saw the way Zach, he instantly was like, okay, different than the Widow Jane when he was drinking the Claremont Steep, right? But this I would go to. I have to tell you, point of trivia. Ray Romano did a movie called The Big Sick. Okay.
Yes. Yep.
Excellent movie.
Great movie.
I was there helping the whole time. I come up with hopefully something funny in that, whatever month it took to film it. But at one point on the set, there's a ton of Michters. And they must have sent it over just to send it over for a party, etc. And it was my happiest day on the set when I saw bottles of Michters arrive.
Everything we've had here today, I think all of these whiskey brands are esteemed brands, and Michter's is certainly one of, people ask me my top 10 whiskeys in America, it's certainly going to be in there, and it's
not even a question. Mm-hmm. Not that that's like a
American rye grain for this one. What's it say on the proof there, Tom? 42.4.
I'm again getting kettle corn.
You're getting dandelion? What?
I'm getting
more dandelion.
More dandelion. Now I'm getting wildflower. No. have you had a rose?
Flowery field of daffodils. Yeah.
No, but I'm getting
emerging from my mouth.
She grew up eating weird stuff.
Yes. Yeah. I'm from Minnesota. Okay.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Okay. That doesn't explain it at all.
What's the signature dish where you're
Minnesota.
From?
Well,
lard. Besides dandelions,
lard.
Yeah. Yeah. Butter. A lot of things that are just white, like bread. Mashed potatoes. I don't know. You know, from
how
Minnesota.
Upset are you that Tom made bread and then forgot to bring
it? I know.
I just was thinking, I'm like, the loaf was there. I go, okay, let me just put it in the car and I forgot.
You know why
it.
Also? Because it's really hard to find good bread in Los Angeles.
So I make sourdough bread. I baked actually at Dan's house when I was under duress. Where, what part of town? You have to say this on the air, but what part of town do you live? Just write your
West
address
Hollywood.
Down. I'll bring it
okay.
to you. I'll bring
amazing.
It to you.
I'll
which
bring
is
you
where we are.
Yeah, we're a block away.
Yeah.
Okay.
On Melrose.
Melrose Umbrella Company. By the way, the outdoor patio, the one
it's
thing
amazing.
That you have to point out for people to listen that are not in Los Angeles is there are no mosquitoes. There are no bugs.
Like, yes.
Outdoor, that's nice.
Yeah, when you're in Minnesota, we've
it's
already been ravaged, right? One of us would be missing from a mosquito
yeah, well, we'd be
carrying
like, it would be
yeah.
this sound
yeah.
constantly.
And you forget it when you go back to one of these places where they have mosquitoes. You go, I forgot how good it was.
Yeah.
This is awesome. The more I talk, the less I drink. So
we're loving the Michters.
We're
all on board on this one.
By the way, if we're going to rank them 1 to 10, which is not fair because they're different flavor profiles,
yeah.
I'm going with an 11 again.
Mm. 11 again. You love the 11. This is fantastic.
This is great.
I mentioned that Marcos Efron is here. He's a filmmaker extraordinaire. Can you mention your movie without being in trouble? Is that promoting or are you running afoul of?
Well, I am not in either union at the moment.
But maybe the actors will get mad at you.
Oh, promote away. No, yeah, only no. if they're.
Oh, do it.
No, thank you. I finished a movie earlier this year. I feel like I should get out of the way.
No, let's hear it.
Well, finish that statement, though, and then, because he does have to be on mic. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So wait a second.
By the way, we'll wait 1 second. Yeah. Keep going.
Yeah, so I finished a movie earlier this year, finished post on a movie called Last Night on Earth that stars Jake McLaughlin, Levin Rambin, Shane West, and the absolutely amazing Dee Wallace Stone.
Do I not count as a star? Didn't I do some voiceover in this thing?
Did I get cut?
Am I only cut?
No, you did not get cut.
Yes.
Wow. We needed
I'm a radio guy.
Obnoxious sounding asshole to be a radio voice. And immediately I thought of Dan
Dunn. That's kind of what he said to me. He goes, I need you to get on and sound like Alex Jones.
Pretty
I'm
much.
Like, all right, I'll do it.
Typecasting.
No, he could say that. He goes, you need to sound like an asshole.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why I thought of you.
I was just cut from a Hallmark movie where they needed someone to play a podcast host. So I'm very upset about it.
You were cut as a podcast host.
I was cut as the podcast host on a Hallmark movie.
That's unfortunate.
So you finished the movie.
The movie's done. We are taking it out to market in about a month or so. We have our agency here in wonderful Los Angeles that's taking care of the sale of the film, and hope everyone gets to see it sometime next year.
Zach is back.
Hello.
Zach is back. He left with Claremont Steep. He ran out and he said, I will be right back with two delicious drinks, and look what we have in front of us, Dan.
Katya, you start.
This one looks like
describe that drink. That looks like something you're going to have
before you lose your virginity.
At a beach party.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is prom night in a glass. No. But it does look like something that I would enjoy in Cabo. I love a crushed ice moment, so like appreciate that. I've noticed that Melrose Umbrella Company always has crushed ice, which is amazing.
So it's a tall, let's describe it for the people. It's a tall glass, crushed ice, straw.
How would you describe this color?
Well, I'm colorblind, so it's a beautiful, it's a beautiful gray to me.
Black and white.
Color disorder as well.
Interesting. Oh. So it's kind of a like salmon pink color,
right?
Which is amazing that developed that from the Claremont, which is very warm brown color.
And the flower, since you've been tasting dandelions.
Yeah. Zach, have you ever described something, a taste profile, as tasting like dandelions?
That reminds me of being a kid, right? That'd be the kid playing in a field, popping the top of the dandelion off, blowing the little guy.
Did you eat it afterwards? Because that's...
Do you know the flavor profile?
Do you know the flavor profile?
Oh, dandelions? Yes.
Yeah. You do.
See?
Very bitter.
Bitter.
Okay. Oh.
Oops.
That was the wrong...
Yeah.
Okay, right?
But there is a flower in the drink that she is drinking now.
I think you're talking about Lily of the Valley. That's very sweet. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where am I going?
Here.
Go to Dan. Tom's. Yeah, Dan's the herb.
I'll get yours.
Okay, so there's a candied ginger on top as well, which I'm really getting.
Oh,
I love a candied
on.
Ginger. This is amazing.
I feel like he's got a professional bartender back there making these for him.
Are you really making these, Zach? Or so, you got Teddy back there making these drinks?
Let me give a life lesson to anyone who's asked to do something on the fly. The first thing I did when I ran behind the bar is I said, "Hey, Teddy, taste this real fast." And he goes, "Oh, this is great." I'm like, "Now make a cocktail with it." Okay. That then guaranteed that I was going to show up with two things, not just one. So everyone's already happy. Two, he's probably going to make something delicious, and he's
well-attuned
in the mode.
Wow.
Oddly enough, though, that's Teddy's, so this was mine.
What's in that one that we just had?
What is in yours?
Well, so Teddy inspired me for a second because I said, well, what do you think? What kind of direction going on this? And he goes, I kind of want to go. He goes, truthfully, I want to take a classic, and I want to riff off a drink that's a Sam Ross cocktail. And that kind of led me Sam Ross, amazing, love the dude.
Sam Ross, New York, invented the penicillin.
The penicillin,
which,
yep.
If you've been to
early gonorrhea troubles.
He also invented. Wait, he did, what was the other one? He did two
not
big
that
ones.
Different penicillin.
Thank you for the laugh.
Ward 8 was Ward 8 him? No.
I mean, his resume. When you look at all the things that he's either done himself or consulted on, amazing. East Coast to West Coast, and probably
Sam's invented some country, modern classics.
A lot of modern classics.
Penicillin would be the most.
So we just kind of had some fun playing with that. And this, I actually, because of that, said, you know what? Why don't we riff a hint off of penicillin? So the candied ginger, I put a hint of ginger in there.
Yep.
A little blueberry thyme syrup. That's what I went with.
That's where the color's coming from,
color.
Too.
I wanted to go something with color, and I wanted to go crushed ice. So when you talk about flavor didn't necessarily hit me straight away on this one. Color and presentation where I wanted it to go did. Mm-hmm. And then the flavor that I was pulling out when I was retasting was cinnamon. So I wanted to play something cinnamon-wise, and then I was thinking, you know, what plays well with cinnamon, and I like cinnamon and ginger together. And then he was saying Sam Ross. I'm like, well, obviously ginger, Sam Ross, penicillin. How do I play that little level together? So I did a very loose iteration of something that could be broken down and maybe perceived as a penicillin riff on this guy right here.
You've got delicious. A late August cocktail. So it's the blend
summer
of like
into
summer
fall.
And fall.
And your guy, Ted, he's a ringer back
Teddy.
There?
Or what's
Teddy. Can we get a round of applause here for Zach Patterson and the bar team? And we're going to get to our final whiskey before the show goes way too long.
I know this is hard for you, but winter is coming. We know what's coming with it. We can't face it alone.
Regular listeners to this program know how much I love barrel craft spirits. Joe Beatrice is a friend of the show who is the proprietor of Barrel, has been on the show numerous times. Barrel's one of the most sought-after whiskeys in the world, really. And whenever they put out a new batch, they get scooped up right away. And this one is a new batch. Batch 35, which is a blend of 6, 7, 8, and 13-year-old bourbons.
Can I just say, Dan?
Yes.
I have never had this bourbon. And as you know, I love bourbon. And so I am so
Barrel's
excited.
As good as it gets, too. I mean, really is. I mean, Joe's been on this show probably 5 times because I love the guy. Yeah, and
just for the ignorant, can you tell me more about it? Like where?
So he's same thing. He's doing is Widow Jane. They source their spirit from right. all over the place.
Right.
They find barrels. They go to Canada. They go here. They go there. And they bring them together and blend at their facility
in South Philadelphia, Kentucky.
So this is going to be a high rye content. I think the 8-year-old, you're going to get the softness. It's going to come from the younger whiskeys.
Now this, is this barrel proof?
This is a luminous amber color, right? Yes. Wouldn't you say?
Definitely.
Cask strength. Oh boy, 117 proof.
Oh yeah.
So do we want
to? That's why we're wrapping with this.
Do
one.
We want a touch of
now,
water?
Now, are you getting the jam? I'm getting this like jam on the nose, like jammy. A lot of fruit coming, like lemon, a little banana bread,
some
maybe.
Apricot in there.
Yeah, yeah, right? Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on the nose on this, yeah. man. Just a lot.
I hate to use that word, but mouthfeel that you don't normally get on yeah. such a high alcohol volume.
So with something like this, if you're listening, you're tasting some of this, I take a little sip and I kind of prime my palate, especially with the alcohol as high as it is. Chew it up, and now I'm going to take a bigger sip. Okay. Mexican hot chocolate.
Wow.
Get all over that, right?
Oh.
Chili peppers. This is a spicy,
whiskey.
I think a little bit of water in there, probably going to open it up a little bit, but just drinking it neat. Absinthe. Anybody getting a little absinthe notes?
Cinnamon.
Cinnamon for sure. So the mash bill on this is 78% corn, 18% rye. So that's high rye for a bourbon. Very high. And 4% malted barley. The blending is Indiana whiskeys, Tennessee whiskeys, and Kentucky whiskeys. And if I put a little bit of water in, like that. So I think the water opens up a lot of the tropical fruit notes, a little papaya. Again, when you're tasting, water will, basically you're proofing it down a little bit, which will open up other flavors that you might not have gotten that can get overwhelmed, especially when, what did we say this is again?
117.
Yeah. So
this is some heat.
That's 53.5% alcohol
by
volume.
This is the highest alcohol content we've had today.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Tom, put your clothes back on. Jesus, Tom.
It's warm in here, Dan. Let a man.
Well,
be
I mean,
free.
this is a whiskey with oomph.
Yeah. So let me just describe the bottle. Right. It's a.
Yeah.
Would you describe it flask like almost? It's an oval.
Yeah. It kind of looks like an oval. Yeah.
An oval
shape.
You want
to stick it in your pocket?
I want to take it in my pants.
Yeah.
Trying to get in that whiskey.
Here you go.
You know what? You know, it's good luck. If a fly goes in the whiskey and you drink it, it's good luck.
Is that?
You're making that up.
I'm not making it up. Marcos will tell you.
No way.
Absolutely.
100%. Yes.
It sounds like
conspiracy.
We're being conned.
Yeah,
we're being conned.
Yeah.
No.
We're being set up for a stink.
Waiting for a fly to go in there.
Phenomenal. This is phenomenal also.
And this one, I believe... What are we talking about here, price-wise?
$170.
Let's take a guess. Let's see. How about this? The closest to the cost of this gets to bring it home with the
okay,
price.
See, is right this isn't fair because I've never had barrel bourbon, so I don't know the base.
So it's air, yeah, nor I.
You can let's okay. see. Let's
age
the,
right. 6 years.
Marcos,
age 6 years.
Marcos, what are you going to say? How much is this? The barrel bourbon batch 35.
$75.
$75, Tom.
Are we doing Price is Right rules?
Closest to
69.
You can go 60. Over a little, right?
Yeah, you can go over. As just closest to dollar amount. Closest 60, to dollar
oh,
amount.
You can go over? Okay, 69.
So here, and I'm going to give her a tip. If you think it's higher than any of those, just say 76 and you'll win.
Yeah, you walk away.
But if you think
bottle.
It's lower, then say, yeah.
Think of that on your bar cart. That's a good looking bottle.
It is a good looking bottle.
Yeah.
I'm going to go 85.
And what did you say?
He said 75.
The winner.
Yeah.
The bottle, barrel, bourbon, batch 35, Katia Dragotis. It's $89.99 a bottle, and you have now won the bottle.
I don't like that. Wait. You coached her.
You kind of
no,
coached
no,
her.
No, but you know what actually turned me?
What?
Was the bar cart comment.
Oh.
It was like, picture that on your bar cart. And I was like, that's a nice looking bottle. Yeah. That's going to look real nice. I know it's expensive.
Yeah.
Just for that, Dan, I'm going to correct you on your math from right? 3 minutes ago.
Oh, the 58 proof number.
58.5, not 53.5. You know who's going to say anything, but
it's
you're
been
a
dick. Long show.
You know, who doesn't have to be good at math? Shakespeare, okay? And I put Dan Dunn in that category.
By the way, Shakespeare just got banned in Florida.
Is that true?
Yeah, they're getting ready.
Actually?
That's, I'm not making that up.
Because he has
tattoos. Oh, shit.
Very sexual.
Well, what does that mean?
All right. So barrel, bourbon. What more can you say? It's phenomenal. Kati is going to be having some parties at her house. This on her bar.
Can I deliver this bread personally?
Bringing the bread.
Yeah, 100%.
Hey, where's that barrel? Yeah. I don't have any barrel bourbon. I saw you take it from the podcast.
Any other tasting notes, Marcus? Anything else you're getting here that needs to be said?
There's the apricot. There's the cinnamon. There's those, you know, Mexican coffee notes. And then, again, that feel in the mouth that you wouldn't expect with something with such a high alcohol volume. Usually that's kind of like acrid and hot in the mouth. This is wonderful.
By the way, I feel bad because he was in the middle of describing his movie, and then a bartender shows up right as he gets into it with a delicious palette of drinks. It's like a stripper walking into your...
Well, when his... Here's the thing.
Yes.
When his movie comes out...
Yes, you'll have him back.
We're going to be back on because, in fact, I'm going to have you back on soon. I did think of you the other day because we're going to do a wine episode.
Okay.
And you love wine. In fact...
I do.
Back in the day, I think it was for my website or something, you were doing a thing called Cinema Vino.
Cinema Vino.
You would pair wines with movies, which
is a
great idea.
That's a great idea.
So I've got a wine episode coming up, and I'm going to have you on as the guest, and
Excellent.
We can talk about your movie, talk about a lot of things, and
Did
drink
you
some
do
great wine.
A red and white for each movie, or just...
No, it was... this was back when I had made my first film with the lovely, and I'm on her side, Amber Heard.
Yes.
And Team Amber.
Marcos took me to a party at Amber Heard's house. I'm not going to give away too much.
What was it?
But you took me to a party at her house, and it was one of the most fun evenings I've ever had. It was such an amazing party. She was very sweet. It was great.
She's one of the most lovely people that I know.
Yeah, and I don't know. I also know Johnny because of the Hunter Camp, and I'm just going to stay out of that. But
hey,
yeah,
me
yeah.
too. Me yeah. too.
That ship has sailed.
But you anyway, made the movie, and soon The Darkness.
Sorry, yes, my first that was her movie? That was your movie,
Sin his
the
movie.
Darkness?
In the Darkness.
So I think I went to a premiere of that
I
at
think
Sunset
you,
Lemley.
With
Is
me.
That
you went with
yeah.
me, yeah.
Ah, I
That's
went
right.
with TV's Dan Dunn.
Yeah.
And from Conan O'Brien. And so that's hysterical. So I saw that movie.
With
and
me.
Amber, well, she was there, right?
She was there.
Full
you
circle.
And
I love this.
And people saw the movie.
And wait, who is the
at
guy
the
in it?
Carl Urban.
Carl Urban from.
And Academy Award nominee, Adriana Barraza.
That's right.
And Odette Yussman, now Odette Annibal.
It's a great movie.
Thank you,
Marcus.
We're
going to
get into this on the episode with you because the strangeness that happened after that. But Marcos and I met, by the way, at Sundance Film Festival. We had a mutual. Well, we met before that, but we had a mutual friend. And then you did a movie. You did a short that was at Sundance. It was really, really well received, and that's how it started. And then you've been doing this, and then. Yep.
By the
downs,
way, the
ups, and now he's back up.
The movie industry is so easy to get into, and
yes.
just
oh, it, yeah.
it's just like a money making machine.
You pretty much just show up to Los Angeles.
Yeah, you
and
show
you get
up.
It, right.
There's never any bumps in the road.
No.
I admire you. Just yeah. you know, it's an easy path to go
yes.
down.
Yeah,
really
yeah,
is
super
that easy.
Easy.
Yeah. You just show up with a screenplay. It doesn't matter what the words say. You can
no.
be 100 blank pages. And you just walk into, it's crazy, you can walk into Universal Studios without an ID, a badge, or an invitation, and they say, well, that's cool, how much do you need?
Yeah.
30 million?
Okay,
we'll give you 40.
Yeah.
And it's that easy.
How about
giving.
Some A-list actors that we would love to push your way? And also, you might want to get to a different bank that can hold more money.
Yeah.
Or,
do you want Final Cut? Sure, take it.
Do you have a Swiss bank account?
Is that Ryan Gosling across the line? Yeah. Ryan, come over here, quick.
So I think, by the way, I think the sarcastic run we're on is that it's one of the hardest things to do is not only make a movie, but then to get it out, then to make some money, and then to be able to make another movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems like it's that any movie gets made, I don't care what level you are. I remember reading about Angelina Jolie having to pitch to make the Unbroken movie, you know, which was like whatever. And I'm like, is there ever a level where, you know, Spielberg goes,
just go on making the fucking movie.
Can I please just make the movie?
I think Spielberg and Nolan and people like that.
Tarantino.
They're
at the point.
But I was at a... it was this event called The Three Amigos that Netflix put on where it was Guillermo del Toro, Alfonso Cuarón, and Alejandro González Iñárritu, the three
right.
of them speaking.
German-speaking movie makers.
And to hear Alejandro González Iñárritu, who has Oscars and who's made The Revenant, I mean, he's an incredible director, to say that getting his last movie made was nearly impossible. That was Bardo. It is not easy. It does not matter who you are. It does not matter what success you have. Never. It is so
never
fucking hard.
It's wild.
To get a movie made.
And see, I'm biting my tongue right now because I'm not saying anything about what I have going on because I don't want to fucking jinx it.
Jinx it?
Yes, but you believe in that. We'll get into that at some point.
But by the way, what I love is the fact that the whiskey makers have overcome every obstacle to make our evening so tolerable because this industry, the Hollywood industry, is so unbelievably brutally terrible.
You need to drink whiskey to
you
get
need,
to it.
You must
and
drink
one
whiskey.
Final note, since we're talking about whiskey drinking in Hollywood, I should point out that we were going to have on our show today the great, the legendary George Gallo, writer of numerous movies, including Midnight Run.
Right.
He's also a very highly regarded artist, painter.
Painter.
And George was not feeling well today. So let's you send out a note to George. George, we hope you're feeling better.
Yep.
We're going to have him back on the show another time.
Yes.
When he's not pretending to be, when he's not sick.
No, actually, you and I were on the phone with him, and he said, I'd love to, and you've done it in the past, and he loves whiskey.
He
loves bourbon. He might, you know,
he just love it. Wasn't feeling
well.
Well,
he had a sore throat, and he was like, I don't want to get, I know that I end up trying to make out with Dan.
Well, no, and he has a pitch meeting tomorrow, and he did. He did say that. He's like nervous about, because even a guy like him who's written huge movies has to show up and do the dance.
Yeah.
Like, hey, will you make my movie?
By the way, I think that, just from the outside, for the public, if they knew the amount of effort that it takes and the amount of obstacles, right? Because you can quit at any point, right? You want to quit at any point. And one of the things I saw George Lucas saying was like, it's not, you know, you can't say to the audience, you can't go into the audience in front of the theater and go, listen, my main actors quit. Just so you know, before this comes. Also, we didn't make our days, meaning we had to cut a scene that would have made this one. You can't say any of that.
Right.
So it's what movie can you make despite the obstacles? Because nobody cares. The audience doesn't care how much somebody has sweat.
They don't care that you lost 2 days to rain, that your so-and-so on the crew got COVID and couldn't show up. They don't care. They want to be
entertained.
Told,
yes.
Entertained. They want to be told a good story. They want to be introduced to characters that they care about. And everything else is besides the
point. Is your problem. It's like with whiskey. We're drinking this. This happens to be every single bottle is delicious on its own. And nowhere is the bottle maker, is the whiskey maker sitting here going, I got to tell you, you know, my main guy quit and then I had a bad rainfall that year. It's like, we don't care.
Well, I mean, look. Not so much with spirits, but with wine. I've talked to a lot of winemakers. They're like, because you know, we know corked wine, but there's wines that are slightly off. They're not obviously corked, but they're a little bit off. And that could be the cork, could be the way the wine was handled. It could have been stored in the sun, whatever. And the winemaker's got it. Doesn't matter.
Doesn't
when you
matter.
Open that bottle and you're like, if the restaurant had the thing sitting in the sun for 10 hours and you'd say, oh, this shit wine, they don't.
Care.
Yep. So put your best foot forward and hope that nobody else screws it up for you.
I think a winemaker, a whiskey maker, a writer, a filmmaker, an artist, you're just putting yourself out there to be ridiculed, shit upon, pilloried, or lauded. You can go either way. And it takes a little bit of it takes chutzpah, it takes balls, it takes
psychosis. Strong whiskey.
Psychosis.
A little bit of a masochistic thread in yourself to just say, you know what, I'm just going to put some piece of art out there, whether it's a painting or a song or what have you.
Podcast.
Or podcast. Well, I mean, well, Dan, you are the king of putting shit out there.
It's almost like
stopping.
You've teed it up for me. Speaking of lauding or ridiculing or all these things, you can follow me at The Imbiber on Instagram at WWD_podcast. Katya, where do they find you?
Katya Dragotis or Purple Banter _.
Tom?
By the way, just for this.
You can't make this easy on me.
Everybody's, if you just, I got to go clean here. Everybody's Raymond 360 because my other projects don't dovetail into alcohol broadcasts. Everybody Loves Raymond 360, Instagram, Facebook, all of them.
Marcos?
Marcos _Efron or MarcosEfron.com.
I want to thank my friends at Melrose Umbrella Company for having us here. Zach Patterson for stepping up and making some cocktails, man. When the pressure was on, he came through. Katya, Tom, Marcos, LJ, everybody that made this happen. And of course, to you listening out there, I know you have a lot of choices There are currently 173,256 podcasts in the world.
Oh my
I
God.
Looked it up today. And you chose Jesus. To listen to this one.
173,255 suck ass.
That's right. Oh,
yes.
And I appreciate you guys coming. We got coming up in the next few weeks. We got Phil Rosenthal,
yes.
The great Phil Rosenthal. Somebody feed Phil. Tom Caltabiano will be back for that one.
Sorry.
We're gonna have the Leonard Skinner coming on the show.
What?
Leonard, well, the, whoever's left of Leonard
really?
Skinner.
Really? Are they promoting
one of the Van Zants from Leonard
okay.
Skinner? They got a whiskey.
Can I come to that?
Coming
Dan?
On. You can
and take
come
pictures?
On to that.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
You can do that. Sure.
Can I come
Marcos is going to be having his own episode where he and I will be drinking wine. I think it's going to be New Zealand wine.
Ooh.
It's coming up. I like how I'm springing this on you right now. He's has not agreed to do this.
He's just
but I'm just assuming he's going to do it. And then we maybe we'll do something for the football season coming up and all
football
that good stuff.
Season.
Yeah.
By the way, are the Philadelphia Eagles still they are pro
we're
going to
win the Super Bowl.
They're a pro
yeah,
team.
No, we're not.
Okay.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
On that note, I'm gonna we're gonna let you,
guys
you go.
Canadian football.
Yeah.
No, no. ZFL is really hard.
La la la. Fingers in the ear. All right, guys. Thank you. See you next week.